This morning, I would like us to turn to Psalm 144. Psalm 144. And we will read verse 15 for our gospel sermon this morning. Psalm 144, verse 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And I want us to meditate on the happy people. When the Bible talks of people who are happy, what does it mean? So that's what I want us to think about this morning. The Bible says that what? Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And okay, you're very gain afar. Bible cast a conform need for and a why more. Send a Bible no air patre. Now, I never say a green one of pay. Now, you put the Bible name so a patre a tray. I'm sure we are living in times. The very common and popular expression is that we are not living in normal times. Everybody, we meet people, you talk, whatever they are planning, they will tell you we are not living in normal times. Sorry. The air can say, Nancy, and somewhere a tight canon, I will tell you, you will be doing, we are more planning, you will be shaking, and so. Your name, bra, a embra, a yahutum, and I said, bra, to me, and no matter says, you're not first, now to me, Bibiasa. I mean, those who love sports, they can tell you that they are not enjoying sports as it used to be. Those who go to the stadium to watch football, they can't go there. And even some matches have to be cancelled, some tournaments have to be cancelled. Vacations, those who also love to go to holidays and travel all over the world and enjoy. Such things are no more because of the restrictions. Some countries are in lockdowns, the airline restrictions. Also, public gatherings. I'm sure we know funerals and parties, there are restrictions. And there are so many things that have been limited. It's limiting public gatherings. Even church. I mean, when there are many, there are limitations and all that. Businesses are also collapsing. Many people are losing their jobs. These things are very common around us. And I'm sure all of us are aware. Many people are losing their jobs. At my workplace, before December, 8 people were told to go home. And many other companies have done the same. First, if things goes on, many will have to lose their jobs. And it's not, as they say, in normal times. Students also are uncertain when they'll be told to go home or come back to resume. They have been in the house for 1 year, and still, things are not as it used to be. The air can say, you can say, no man to say, the night here first, no, 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 restrictions that they, if you see, I know my own to me, and said the open. And I say, if you might bring so good, go for bring so a show, if you say, I'm very woman in tea. It's a school for ground, only more of my coffee, no one has a pushing idea. All because of the uncertainties of the current pandemic, the whole world is battling because of this coronavirus and its implications. So we may say that many are not happy as it used to be these days. That also. Many are not happy, it used to be. But what is true happiness? Does it consist in the things we acquire or enjoy in the world? That's what you have to think about it. Yes, we are not in normal times. But if I'm a child of God, or if I'm not, then where does my happiness rest? This distinguishes between those who are of God and those who are not of God. In times when there are difficulties, the air can say, and the cry say, So I want to give a little explanation of the text, the passage. This passage, verse 15, it begins from verse 11. What the psalmist, though he says so many things, but before he said verse 15, he begins from verse 11. And to summarize it for us, If you follow the observation, David in this chapter, you realize that from verse 11 to 14, he prayed for their protection against vain and false people in verse 11. In verse 12, for the well-being of the youth of Israel. You can read it for yourself. I mean, we can't go through all. And verse 13, for the abundance in the storehouses and an increase in their harvest. And verse 14, for the continuous peace and harmony. Is that not what, I mean, the world called comfort and peace in the world? To have protection against any evil in the family, I mean, the youth, I mean, our children, you can look upon them, they are growing well, they are doing well in their, I mean, worldly, I mean, ambitions. And we have so much, and so we are able to make savings for the family and for, I mean, whoever depends on that. And when we invest, we have enough to keep us. And also, there's no much trouble in our home. I mean, you didn't hear somebody, an robber breaking in. There isn't, I mean, disasters in our home. Is that not what the world calls? I mean, is that not what, I mean? David is calling it what? Happy. That's people are happy. So you see that, afterwards in verse 15, although he initially stated that, happy is that people that in such a case, when they have this kind of quietness in the world, they're happy in such a, people in such a case. But you see that, sad things we may also, I mean, say it when, I mean, and who don't want to be, I mean, have such a, I mean, good things in the world so that you don't have so much trouble, you have so much, you know, some people who have denied some of these things, like the asylum, maybe he doesn't have, I mean, quietness or the family, the husband disturbing him or the wife disturbing him, the children, and they are now in the asylum somewhere. I mean, people, when they are denied some of these things, you get them crazy. They can say, shared Psalm 144 now from verse 11 to 14. David can send me. Now, no, can say, oh, Obompa is a Umina, about Obambo, Tia, Gofua, a Bayer, Nomitia, or Madipa Bonifo, Omumansu, any Belbini, Nominia, Nomotus, or Brabo, and now among your mom would this year, and also on Wiki Juma, and also on Fimumbra. No, so how's a bompa, account verse 14 say. Sir, I'm going to meet a cost with you as from you will be a simulan your cost with you. And the cassa, who are Chassinua, go cover above his feet, you say, Sam of four was signing your mowing, Omoniaji, Sir Omo was sat to be a move we are seeing. But immediately you see that he corrected his statement and rather said, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You look at the verse 15. He initially said, these people who have all these things are happy people in such a case, when in this world. But immediately he said that, yea, rather, happy is that people whose God is the Lord, or a people whose happiness depends on their personal relationship with God and are one with God. The other kind of say, we are saying, ni omo a omo ni aje ni omo a ewurade yo mo nyankopo omo ni omo a eni aje. He made a comparison. You see that he said that those who have what God for the Lord Jehovah for their God, you know that it is the greatest loss to anyone in this world if all the treasures, the wealth, the knowledge and wisdom, everything is given him. Like when we were kids, we used to learn Kokwanan's story. And I said, we want to go and get all the world wisdom. And after he put it on his back and climbed the tree, and it fell off. Look at life as that. Even if you should have all, like Ufanas had it and put it on his back to climb the tree, and later it fell off. It tells you that even all the wisdom he has had, he was not wise, knowing that it can fell off from his back. But then what are we talking about? If I should have all the world goods, the wisdom, the wealth, let me be the most popular, maybe the most richest, the fame. And let me claim that, oh yes, indeed, I'm fully enjoying everything that is in the world. And yet lose spiritual and eternal happiness for your soul. It's a greater loss. The can say, so many we are simunyo menya, and ije, musika, muahunya, bibia, or not, oh, we mean, and ye, but we'll be, how be and damn so. Nemo, no, by shre, and ija, or sacra, ninyam. Susum any da ni jail, any part, Susum Ninja, even Sophia's as his woosh, no one, actually. It is better to be the most poorest and to gain eternal, spiritual and eternal happiness in God. Ebeye, se meye hinye ni ubi asti mu niya. Ne mu mu me niya enija, oho ma mekra, o sun sun mu. Ene, da da enija, da chi, mekra ni benya. Enu mu niya. Den, jebisa, enija o benya ma ni pebiya inu, pebiya da ku, edwa ko shepo. Ibiya suitra. What is going to carry on beyond the grave is your soul. And that is where we have to seek after. Can I ask you that, what does it profit an immortal soul to gain all things and lose God, the eternal one? Yes, we have the physical life. When the soul leaves the body, they say we are dead. But the soul does not die. If you go to Ecclesiastes, say that then the dust shall return to dust and the spirit will return back to God. Everybody. But animals say that when they die, their soul goes down. It doesn't come up. When we die, the body will be turned to dust, but the soul, the spiritual part of us, will return back to God. And what is it turning back to? Turn back to God for judgment. We say, what are bones to a snail? You are running a snail, you give them bones. What will happen to them? They will starve and die. Or what is a heat to a fish? You are running fish and you are heating their water. What will happen to them? That is what many people do. We have an immortal soul in us, and yet we think of the body. The body who will die and perish one day. The body which we don't know of how long it might even live in this world. But we spend all our life thinking of our good in this world, denying what it takes for the soul to be happy. The can say, I said, if I don't know any Yanko Ponso Murad, and so inform me. If you say, maybe if you answer no, I am Omode. Now, no one can come to true and lasting happiness here on earth and hereafter who derives not his happiness from God by the spiritual life and blessing he stores to the soul. The air can so be in ya, and it's a clan of Africa. Say, or then whom I saw Tias I see so, and I'll be Tias I see so. So on your sign and the genuine fear radimu, no you feel no more we are simon. Oh my dumbra and the bear my money that they be an old nigger and shama. If you said, sir, and the general in your fee, and qua a young for the money, any insurance or the count a crown. See, in your sign your manoa, a crown, and to me an injury. Let me give you some reason. When God made man, happiness for the soul which he was to derive from God was a free gift that was bestowed on him, so long as he retained his glorious state. When God made Adam, Adam was to be a happy person, never to have any misery, never to have any illnesses, never to have disappointment, never to have anything that would cause him unhappy. He was happy because the Bible said everything was good, the garden, he was just enjoying everything. But when sin entered, man became dead to all spiritual good and comfort, thereby losing such a glorious gem. Just like a gold. I mean, it's like having a gold and losing it. I mean, that's a rough example. Adam has a gold and now he lost it to have stones. What is the value of a stone and what is the value of a gold? By sin, Adam's happiness turned into misery. Happiness was like his own hair. I mean, it was really like our hair on our skin. So close to us. So that like our own dress that we wear, that we were not to have any gloom. Yes, so in your own body panel, and it's the idea of the man, what you say, and the idea are not also when you think of what they be not any power. Ah, because in the Babin Yano, da. Now, a friend is saying, Nipa, a constant opinion saying, the genus or trust, so at night, I am in the sea. Then, Momono, Bonipe Mono, Nipa. Ebe wuma enija won ko my cram nipa ebe wuma ye ni yakopon tem yakopon tumi ni e nyan kita mu de bia ene e cram no ebe wuye ena o hwe sa enyonyam adewi. Yes, there are so many things that Adam lost. Happiness was one of them.
to be happy.
Don't you know that the world, I mean, there's no happiness anyway. If, I mean, you should consider, I'll come back to some of those things. Adam lost it. But now, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God that man has become short of. Happiness is one of it. Because God's people are happy people. God, angels. I mean, the angelic bodies. When Christ was born, they were, I mean, all praising God. They are always in the throne, before the throne of God, praising Him. How can somebody be not happy and praise God? They are always happy. There's no burden on them. There's no guilt of sin on them. Bonne, aso tribian dom so. I said, Bonne, so be true, so Bonne behan any home. So be behan any home. Omunijida. They are always happy, rejoicing before God. Such was the state that man was in the beginning, but man has lost that because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So each one of us, when we come to this world, we come with misery. Why? The day we are born, the day we are dying. While our age is going up, we are closer to our grave. And when you think of, sometimes people can think, when am I going to die? What is going to happen? Then they become miserable. And it's a normal thing everywhere. But now, however, we are somebody paying the jail, also going on a few. So what alternative is a sinner seeking to replace this fallen glory? You see, when, I mean, now man is now wearied and, I mean, distressed at the loss of such a glorious gem. He's wondering about seeking alternatives to fill that void. It's like somebody who depends on his eyeglasses to walk around. And if that eyeglasses is missing, he'll be moving around. He can't find it. How can he be happy while he walks around? He'll be stumbling and falling. Things will be beating him up. He can't even cross the road. Such is the happiness of man. So man is now wondering about. The soul has to be happy. The soul has to rest itself on something. But it was supposed to rest on God. But now, that is the case of man. So some look for it in nature. I mean, there are so many people who think that, oh, enjoy the nature, like the Hindus and Buddhists and yoga, those who do yoga, and they say, oh, just, they say, enjoy yourself and be quiet and just observe nature, and you reveal inner self and your soul will be quiet. It's a false happiness. Yes, it will give you some kind of, yes, God created a nature to help us when we think of it, to give us some kind of joy. But that joy to the full, have been taken away, to the fullness, we can never have it. So that, yes, it will deceive you that you are happy, your soul is happy. It will take you to hell. But the joy of that nature doesn't cancel your sin. Doesn't clear away your sin. That joy does not make you a holy person before God. It will still take you to judgment before God when you die. It will still make you a candidate for hell. Yes, we can seek that kind of comfort from nature, but that is not enough. Some look for it in human companionship. Some think, oh, when I have a good friend, then I should be happy forever. Oh, but I'm sure all of us, from the little one to the elders, knows what company, human companionship have made to us. We should find out its disappointment, then also the heartaches, the fancies, the anxieties, and the fear of change that are ever attached with it. Today, you are close to someone, tomorrow there's fight. Today, there's a trust, tomorrow there's mistrust. Today, somebody is honest, tomorrow there's dishonesty. Even such fellowship, companionship which God even gave to Adam and Eve in marriage, and whereby they have to live and be happy forever, it was destroyed. So that even when we seek happiness in such things without God, we are disappointed. Yes, so even send you panic, the public didn't cry, no money pay any agent. And no cry upon it. See, I look to send a bit in Yaja. You're disappointed. Some are looking for it also in immorality. Something that when they enjoy themselves, become chief of sinners, then they are happy. Self-indulgence, sensual pleasures, I mean, fornications and adulteries and pornographic sites, enjoyment and all that. TVs, movies. Nowadays, the very common Then people move to enjoy soap operas. And they think that when I watch it, then I'm happy. And then when I'm tired, I go to the house, I sit down and watch it, I'm happy. No, you can never seek it. I mean, most of these things are being sinful to begin to watch, first of all. Some also think they can seek in drunkenness. When I have one shot, all my burdens are gone. It's a deception. Ask every drunkard. The next day, the alcohol is gone. He's the most miserable person in this world. Partying. One party to the other. But when the one party ends, misery comes. They have to. How long can you be? But when you are, go to a 90-year-old woman or man and ask him, will you go to a party? He'll tell you, what is party? Yes, if you can party while you are young, you think you are young. But when you get older, where energy itself fails you, party is nothing to anyone. So if that is what, that was your happiness, where are you? You have been disappointed. The can say, if you move, you say, no, Jinny, or co parties, or the drama war and some room, and then if you are normal, you say, or the relation with money in the age, yes, Ninja, nobody will humble. If you say, we need no bar, rubber for writing me, we stand your way, Niano, and more with it. If you are a proud young detest, you see how the world will turn out. We cannot be happy with these things. Some seek in morality. Some also think that, for me, I'm a good person. I don't want to harm anybody. I want to be this and that. And he thinks that, that makes him accepted everywhere and that God accepts him. No, it's a deception. Until sin is taken away, morality cannot wash away sin. Being, it's good to be moral and not be doing bad things, but that cannot save anyone. Some also seek in religious practices. Some think, when I pay my tithe, when I join a church, when I'm baptized, I should be happy, but God will accept me. No. Because none of those things will wash away sin. Always put at the back of our minds sin. What can wash away sin? What can make sin be gone? So this proves that in the end, there is no lasting happiness on this side of hell, apart from the recovery of that original happiness man lost by sin. Unless we recover that, man can never be happy. Each one of us, we are born sinners, and unless we recover that happiness that God gave to Adam, even and then the better one, because Adam, somebody said, if Adam were to be living forever, he would still be a servant. But in Christ, we are made to become sons of God. We'll come to that. We are made to become the sons of God. What a happy state. Not a servant, a sons of God through Christ. Okay. So matters for the meditation, let's on the other hand, look on our particular text. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. We have looked at how other people think that will make them happy. And we have seen that they are all vain and they are all nothing as compared to. But let's now concentrate on happy is that people whose God is the Lord. What does it mean? What does this little phrase mean to us? Let's think deeper and inquire. What does it mean to be a happy people? So in doing this, then each one of us must ask ourselves quietly, am I a happy person as far as the Bible teaches about these happy people? And if I'm not, then I have to seek the way they are happy. So we look at these three things. Who are these happy people? What makes them such a happy people? How to find their happiness? First, who are these happy people? We are told that happy is that people whose God is the Lord. It is that happiness which Ruth came to obtain when she told Naomi, for whither thou goest, I will go, for whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. In Ruth 1:16. Remember the story of Naomi when they went from Israel, Judah, to go and sojourn in Moab, when there was famine, and his husband died, his two sons died, so she was left with her two daughters-in-law. And it came to time that she has to return back to Judah, because she had said that there's plenty there. And two of her in-laws were following her. And she told them, I cannot give birth to a son so that you can marry them. So go to your people. And one of them, Orpah, left. Though they all cried. But Ruth said she cannot go. What did Ruth see? What happened to Ruth that she cannot go? But to follow after Naomi, who came to find good things from their land, who came to find food and worldly peace from their land. She saw something beyond. God, I mean, in a normal sense, it doesn't make sense, because but You see, Ruth saw something beyond that. He saw the godly life of Naomi, despite all her troubles. And she trusted herself to that. So he said, in the end, he said that, "And thy God shall be my God." She did not say that, "I'll go to Judah with you. Now, I've heard that in Jerusalem, in Judah, you have a good kingdom, have a good people, and I've sensed you are returning, and there's plenty of food, and I mean, when I join myself to you, I might also come and enjoy." No, your God will be my God. Your people who also trust in God will be my people. Who trust in Jehovah. When she left behind the gods of Moab and all the vanities of the world and embraced the only true God. Ojaninya, Moab not plenty of Naomi Bahon. Ojaninya, and the bush and four. Look at that, the bush and four. Nimia no, the Ojaninya. No, I didn't know about four. If I didn't have a poor Bakopenoa, Israel for someone. These people also do not know God only as their creator, a good and merciful God, but a God who owns them as their covenant God and Father. They don't see Him as, I mean, people are like, "Oh, I'm going to eat here, I'm going to they know God by faith in the covenant of grace, where God promised to have sinners to be saved by Christ's propitiation. That is why covenant and God and Father, this is what you mean. That God in time past promised to save a people to Himself through the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary, to set Christ forth as a propitiation. And in the old days, He did it in subsequent years until Christ came to die for sinners. And He promised that whoever trusts in Christ and the work He did on Calvary, He forgive his sin, and then He become His people. Such is the trust, such is the knowing that they know God. Say, Omudom Ratun Yakupawa, Washabo say, "Wow, Betty Christo, who you know. They were part of all the sinful inhabitants of the earth, fallen children of Adam, who once lost their glorious happiness, but have now tasted the gracious reconciliation work of God through faith in Christ. San ni pay omo ni aje ni omo ka ewi ase ni pa mo so bo ni aso omo ma na emom no omo e da omo ho ebe hu Yakupon ni enkuta hudi a odi ma ewo Kristo jide odi se Kristo ni. Friends, how do you know God? It's a question. How do you know God? I'm sure each one of us know God. How do you know Him? Do you know Him as your covenant God and merciful Father? Or what? Until you know Him as such, you don't know God. Yes, you don't know God. Okay, what makes these people happy? What makes them happy? We have moved from who are they. We have seen who they are. They are covenanted people to God. They are not God's people just because they are born, they are created by Him. They are God's people because they have been brought in communion, in union with Him, by His own promise, by faith in Christ Jesus. What makes them happy? First, they have tasted the forgiveness of God. In continuous of what we are saying, they have repented of their sins and rested their hopes of salvation on the atonement of Christ. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. They have such a blessed, which is the same as happiness. They have tasted the forgiveness of God. They have tasted the reconciliation work of God. It has brought them to Himself. They have embraced the God that pardoned iniquity and passed the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. He passed what? He pardoned the people. So his God, who are covenant by promise to save His people, He saved them by forgiving their sins and passing over their sins. Do you remember in Egypt when God told the Israelites to prepare for the Passover? What did they do? He said that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. God can only forgive our sin when you see the blood of Christ on us. By faith in Him, then He will pass over our sin. It doesn't matter how our sins will be. If only we are sincere to come to Him, then He washes us with His blood. The Eka says, "Tell my Israel, all Egypt, and I will be with you." I saw Munku Abua, Munku Abua, Munku Abua, Munku Abua, Munku Abua, Munku Abua, Munku Abua,
That is the same thing. God can only forgive sin when he sees the blood of Christ. It is the only means he forgives a sin. So such people have such forgiveness from God. They have trusted in the atonement of Christ. They have given their lives to God because of this. He passed it by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. God has a heritage. He has an inheritance in the Western world. Those that God have them as his inheritance are those whom he has purchased with the blood of Christ. He has bought them with the blood of Christ. They now enjoy this blessing from God who said, and I will make with them a covenant of peace. It's another expression that shows how God has been what? Peaceful with such people. Sin is an enmity between us and God. He has what? Made us peace. When people are enemies, what can bring them together? Reconciliation in Kabum. Or say, God has made his people a covenant of peace. And peaceful people are to be happy. And this is eternal peace, not the human peace and world peace that we have. Peace to the soul. And then it produces happiness, which goes on forever. The wrath of God is taken away from them. They now feel no guilt of sin. Their debt of sin has been paid for by Christ's atonement. Then also, Christ has paid their debt. God is not angry with them anymore. But the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day a sinner wakes up from his bed sleeping, God is angry with him because he's a sinner. But this people, because they have come to Christ and tasted that sin is a greater curse and a burden in this world. Sin makes the world miserable, makes damn souls unhappy, and makes hell fired up. Sin, whose will be in any job, Bravo, and as will be a Wahabia air born in here. Now, one is a bema hell, a jano at the power. Because when more people keep their sin and go to hell, when you are burning trash and you put in more combustible things, it will burn more. So that when we keep our sin and continue our sin, we are making ourselves fuel for fire, for hell. But this people have no unforgiving sin lying upon them. They are free like a bird that is let out of its cage. That's how the freedom is. But let a little string hold the leg of the bird. How free can it be? It can go out of the gate, but still to be drawn back. That is when we are not really repented of all our sins. Sin will still draw us back. But when we have repented of all and come to Christ, we are free indeed. As Christ said that he died, the Son will make free, we'll be free indeed. When Christ makes us free, he can only forgive sin. And when our sins are forgiven us by Christ, by faith in him, we are free indeed. We are free. We live in this world, troubles will come, but you know, Christian's heart is ever stable because he has peace in his heart. They are washed in the blood of Christ. They are now whiter than snow. They are made clean in God's pure eyes as Christ is to him. God sees us. If I'm born again, I've trusted in Christ. He sees me as Christ. Christ is pure. Christ is holy. I am holy. I am pure. His righteousness has been imputed into my account. It has been given me. Christ has carried all their sins to the cross. When Christ was being crucified, he took all those who believed in him, their sins on the cross. They carried all his righteousness. He took their sin, he gave them his righteousness. Christ has suffered their hell. They have no fear of hell. Christ has taken my hell away. I have no fear. When I'm going to die, no matter whether I die a tragic death or a quiet death, I know that Christ is waiting at the back, at the end of, like crossing Jordan at the other side of the world where human eyes cannot see. He's standing there to welcome me back to himself. You see? It is not a happy condition of a people. It is very happy. They have also received the spirit of adoption to their soul. Another part. They've not just been forgiven of their sin. God has given them a spirit of adoption. They were naturally children of the devil, hating and despising God as everyone is. Enemies of God, but he has become their father. They were up to send baby and Emba, a friend is a cancer which adoption. But one more Emba, a friend is a, I mean, Emba, to be a bow only a giant now. Same as Wumunya Kuposa or Papa. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Those who are led, are you led by the Spirit of God? And are you sure you know that you are led by the Spirit of God? The Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They have the spirit of adoption. They are made to be part of God's children. They have been joined to His family. As I said, they have no guilt of sin. As the Bible says, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Romans 8 verse 1. Oh, to have the peace of God in the soul. He has given them a new nature. He did not modify their old nature, but gave them a new spiritual nature. Their heart now yearns after Him. He did not come and our old sinfulness changes it. No, He gave us another nature that comes to live in us. Our old nature will die and then be buried. But He has given us a new nature to come and to live in us. And they daily they lift up yearning after Him. Do you yearn after God? Do you have His desire in you? Is your soul at peace with Him? Do you wake up thinking of God that, yes, I want to please Him in every aspect of my life? This indicates that you have, if you ever believe, many people think that they have believed in Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they don't, they wake up and it's all of themselves and their life. No, those, if you are living with your parents, when you wake up, you are going to school, whom do you tend to? Go to daddy and mommy. If you're in uniform, maybe your mommy watches, you go to her or her, him. Where's my daddy, please, where's my uniform? He gives you. So in spiritual matters, when I wake up, my strength, my protection, whatever I will do, I go to God to ask Him. So if I take my life to myself and I move about, thinking, well, I'm saved, yet God is not your Father. So this should prove to us, are we people of God? Are we people that are happy? Happy people who always go to God and ask Him of everything. Happy people always go to God and ask Him of protection. But do you do that? Do you delight in God above everything? Do you obey Him as your Father? How well do you obey God? If I don't obey Him, I'm not. God is not my Father. God is not my Father. They have become God's temple also. He dwells in them by His Holy Spirit. Not only they are children of God by adoption, they have become His temple also. When it comes to worship, His temple also. He has made them holy and accepted in their worship. Like Abel. Cain and Abel offered a sacrifice. God accepted Abel's own. They rejected Cain's. But they are all children of Adam. What happened? God accepted Abel because He brought the firstlings. The Bible says He brought the first fruit. It doesn't matter that Cain brought vegetables or fruit and Cain brought animal. The people always use that God, Abel's own was with blood that God accepted. No, the Bible didn't say that. The Bible said that Abel brought the firstlings, which is the first fruit. But Cain brought, it was not recorded whatever he brought. That means he brought anything from his field. See, Cain brought anything. Then that is what those who are not God's children do. They come, they come to God's worship careless, thinking even about my business, my family, my relation, whatever. But if I'm a child of God, I come to His worship. I come because myself, I'm His temple. He dwells in me. My life is holy and accepted. So this also will teach us that whoever is born again, whoever is part of God's people, cannot be controlled by sinful life. No. He might sin here, but immediately correct that thing. So if sin sits on me, I move with lust, hate, and envy, and unnecessary love of the world, I have to check if I'm really a child of God. Because I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. How can the Holy Ghost be envious? How can the Holy Ghost think malicious about somebody? How can the Holy Ghost think of hating someone? No, we are not given a spirit of such wickedness. No, we are given a spirit of love, peace, joy, and long-suffering in Christ. They've surrendered their talent, their life, and their possession, their time to Him. How have you surrendered all these things to Him? Your life, your time, your possession, everything. It tells you if I have. And indeed, I did it because of Christ. I did it because of the love of God in my heart. Then I should know that, yes, I'm part of God's people. They glorified God in their bodies. They did not serve their lust. I don't think, oh, this one is good for me, and I go in for it. I add the Bible. Even some things that are lawful are not sinful. I even still ask, is it all that necessary? does it really add anything to my spiritual life? Such things you ask. And if a true child, a born again child who has the Holy Ghost dwelling in him as a temple of the Holy Ghost, he will have, the desire not to do that. They are always rejoicing. Is this not a happier state to know that God dwells in you? It's not a happy thing. That when troubles come, God dwells in me. I pray to him and he hears me. It's not a happy thing. That to grumble in the world and to find your own solutions, it's not a happy thing. It's a happy thing. So these people are happy. They have received the spirit of adoption. They have been forgiven of their sin. They are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives in them. So, can you confirm that God dwells in you? How does it affect your life? Do you hate sin? The temple of God can never, commune with sin. And the last thing is that they have become the people of his care and his keeping. He works all things for their good. The infinite power of God works and defend and support them. His wisdom guides and directs them. So long as they depend on his word, they can never go wrong. Though the world may hate and dislike whatever they do. When trouble comes, God is there to keep them. God, even if the trouble should befall them, God is able to uphold them in the midst of the trouble. In Isaiah chapter 43, it says that, though you go through fire, I will be with you. It will not burn you. You go through the flood will not overtake you. These are the happy people of God. So that even in the midst of this pandemic, despite all things are not going on well, because I have Christ as my Savior and God is in my heart, I can sit down. Yet things are around me are all decaying, yet I can look upon God and his love in my heart. And the joy out of my heart make me feel I will not be haste. I will not be somebody, hey, this is happening. Hey, this is no. I'll have my rest in God that whatever my state will be, even in these trying times, God has approved it. Because the almighty power of God supports me. He also, the abundant goodness of God supply all their needs. He holds nothing good from them. So that whenever I lose anything, and then I'm obedient to God, it is his care, it is his will for me to lose that. But if I gain it also, it's from his hand. So that I will not grumble when I lose or gain. When we grumble, when we lose things from whatever we have. Somebody will ask me, are they not afflicted as other people? Oh, but are they God people? Are they not, poor? Are they not also having the disasters of this world? Are they not also being affected? The Bible says that the affliction of God's people is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that they may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also they suffer. Which means that it is to make them fit for heaven. It is to show that they are one with Christ who suffered for them and have taken away their eternal damnation. When affliction happens to us, it purifies, it refines us for heaven. It helps us to win us from the world. It makes us more heaven-like, more heavenward. But when I lose, then I look up to God. When I have trouble, I look up to God. Then the worldly things have been taken out. Though I'll have them, but I will not rest my hope on any of them. But when I think my living depends on all the things I have, and I'm a child of God, God will definitely try to help me, to let me look upward to heaven. So when trials come and afflictions come, the true Christian, by the grace of God, will look up to heaven, and then will have his hope. Psalm 37, verse 37, the Bible says that, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Yet the world may say it was a disaster, but the Bible says what? The end is peace. Because you don't see, the righteous man sees it. Christ and God is with him. They stand, even if he should die, they are standing at the other side of the gate to receive him. His soul, like Lazarus, immediately he closes his eyes, he goes back to be with the God who has made him. But the wicked, the sinner, immediately he dies, though the eternal hell is not open yet. He has a disastrous place to go and be. Like the rich man, he opened his eyes and he was being tormented. So the wicked, when they die, they go to a tormented place to await for their final judgment. But the righteous, when they die, Christ awaits and receives their soul, awaiting when their body will be joined. So how to find this happiness? To cut my story short, friends, this is the happiness of the true Christian, born-again child of God. This is when the person says, I'm a Christian, and he's truly a born-again child of God. This is the happiness. His sins are forgiven him, had the spirit of adoption. God has made him his temple. He gives him and he protects him by all his attributes. And he is happy. Have you made the Lord your God? If so, then you are a truly happy person. But if you have not the Lord for your God, then Jesus Christ is ever waiting, ready to receive you, today's happy people. He died on the cross for you and I. He was the only one who paid for the sin's penalty on the cross. Believe on his shed blood, who he shed for sinners, and you will be saved. Repent of sin. Come to him repentant. Come to him believing, knowing that whatever we are, whatever we are born with, will never take us to eternal happiness. Whatever we have in this world, it's only our hope and trust in Christ alone. His blood, his precious blood, must pay for our sins' debt. His precious blood must clean us from our sins' filth. We should be justified and sanctified before we be fit for heaven. Or say, if we beam, near tea, I will feel wonderful. And never mind heaven, I hear dear. And never mind near Jim, and remember, it just as you so. I say, yes, I know my way, that's a young fair range. Shame more. Oh, the psalmist cannot tell us happy who God is the Lord. Whose God is the great Jehovah? Many people are still they are Christians, but God is not their Lord. God is not the Lord of their life. They love the salvation, forgiveness of sin, but they don't love the sanctification from sin. And salvation is so divided. It's justification and sanctification. And justification, God gives to me. And sanctification, he does it in me. So then, if God is sanctifying me, and I don't live a holy life, I'm not justified. So the sanctification should just show, prove that I am justified. They can say, "Boom, bim, wa." They are coupon, betting on. They say, "Yes, me see a boom, bim." That's why me hunte, na me trust, me boni mwa. I just say, "Boom, bim." I'm deceiving myself. So that is how we check. That is how God, the happy people are. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. May the Lord help us to think through these things and see ourselves that if we are and if we are not, so long as we have life, we can still be happy people before we go to the other side of the world. May the Lord help us. Let's pray to